And I have the privilege of having BJ Armstrong on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. BJ, how are you, sir?
Dee, I'm doing great. It's so wonderful to hear your voice. And you and I go back a long ways, a long time without dating ourselves. But it's great to hear you, and I hope everyone is well with you. And please tell everyone I said hello.
Absolutely. I want to preface this by saying I felt you would be nominated as a Best Supporting Actor last week, just in terms of telling great stories in The Last Dance and the whole thing about the going to Charlotte and your ability to convey to your Charlotte Hornet teammates that you knew how you could beat those guys. Can you just give a little insight? One, what it was like first to be a teammate of Jordan?
Well, first and foremost, I found it incredibly simple to be a teammate because there was only one agenda, and that was to win. There was no other distractions. There wasn't, we weren't trying to be the most famous team. We weren't trying to score the most points. We were a team that was focused and had one mindset, and that was to win games and go out and execute that. So being a teammate was great. I think this has been a great storytelling for him to be able to, for him to tell his story for the fans and the people who have watched him for years, to wanted to get a kind of peek behind the curtain, if you will, D, of the mindset of what would have someone that driven. So for me as a teammate, you know what? Hey, we had a job to do. We had a lot of fun. Yes, we were very serious about what we did, but everyone was serious. And that was kind of the mindset of that era, is where you play, you compete, you competed hard. And so playing, whether I was playing with them or against them, that was just kind of the environment that I grew up in. That was the era. I didn't know any other way other than to come out and play to win and give your best effort and live with the results.
Well, there were great results, obviously, in Chicago, but now you do go on to Charlotte, and you do have that series against the Bulls in 98, correct? It was 98?
Somewhere around there. DMO, yeah. Now.
I'm pretty sure. I don't want to mix my things. But the beauty of when you're telling the story is that you were honest in saying, yeah, the Charlotte Hornets team wasn't great. And everybody automatically is going to say that 98 Bulls team, I mean, they're driven to get that last championship, so they're thinking sweep. What happens that allows you and your teammates to beat them? And is it easy for you to remember that just because it was, the Bulls?
Well, you know, what I remember is when I first came into the league in the late 80s, I was thrust into a situation where I had to learn how to sink or swim. And I came in my first playoffs that year. I was fortunate enough to be on a team that got to the Eastern Conference Finals. And it came to me apparent that if you're going to play and you're going to play at that level, you have to set the stage and you have to set the tone. And yes, you are playing basketball, but you have to set the tone of like why you're there to play. And you have to let everyone, especially your opponent, to know that you are ready to fight what you believe in. And not literally go out there and fight, even though in that era it got a little testy from time to time. But you had to let them know that I'm here to win the game. And if you aren't at your best, I have the ability to win. So I learned that firsthand. And that's all I was trying to do, D. I wasn't like, that was just how you played the game back then. So I think everyone who played understood that, who've had success, that's what you do when you start off a playoff series. You know, there's a lot of adjustments being made. There's a lot of things that's going on. But in the end, the game always comes down to, do you have the ability to stand up and take the punch and throw a punch? And then you go out there and you play as hard as you possibly can. So I learned that. And I tried to take that throughout my whole career. I always knew that it's impossible for me to win every game, but it certainly was possible for me to try to win every game. And, so I just tried every time I went out there to play it. And I just took those lessons and I learned them from playing with the Bulls. I learned them, saw them firsthand playing with Michael and Scotty and Bill Jackson. And that's just what I knew. And I went for it. And, you know what? We had a good team. they were obviously a great team, and you know what? They had to come out and beat us because we weren't just going to, you know, fold our tents and will and say, hey, and lose the game without at least trying. So we did the best we could, and you moved on.
You bring up, I think, one of the things about The Last Dance, and while it does show you so much into the insight of Jordan himself, I have enjoyed seeing, like, listening to Tony Kukoc. There were things about his place and time with the Bulls that I did not know. So obviously, stuff with Pippen has been very, very interesting to me. And also Phil Jackson, because I can't imagine for that guy, you know, here he has all this success and he's walking into a season that he knows that no matter what he does, cannot save his job. I know you weren't there for that part of it, but what was it like, Phil, or what was he like that would enable him to be able to coach and do what he did for that final year, knowing that there was nothing after that?
Well, you know, D, as an ex-athlete, you know, every time you take the court or every time you have an opportunity, it's an incredible blessing. Because you know at any given moment, you know, you can get injured. And you know that, you know, it's short-lived. Your time as an athlete to be able to run and jump and maximize that opportunity, you have to play the game and live your life with this sense of urgency because it's truly a race against time. And, you know, when you play, you have to, there's a little secret that you learn as an athlete is you have to always sink yourself into the moment because you never know when that moment is going to come back. And you never know when you're going to have a second chance, if you ever have a second chance at all. So I would imagine as a professional and knowing what I learned over the years, you know, I never anticipated that I would, you know, I thought I could win one championship. I never imagined that I would be a part of a team that would win three championships.
Sure.
So me looking ahead, you know, I didn't approach the game that way. I always try to approach the game with great humility. I always try to live in the moment because you never know when you get that chance. So that is the mindset of an athlete for me. And I would imagine for those guys, and I'm going to speak for them, is that, you know what, let's take care of this right now. And then we'll worry about, you know, the other stuff later, because you never know when you're going to have an opportunity to do this because it is so precious to have an opportunity to win a championship and let alive realize it and attain that goal. So I would imagine that it's not hard at all because you know that those are very precious times and you hold on to that and you just try to really dedicate yourself to being present at all times.
BJ, I know you're still involved in basketball now, and the game is different. And somehow this documentary sparks conversation of Jordan's place in the game, LeBron's place in the game. Obviously, LeBron is still playing. And I'm not sure it's fair to have to choose. But I'm curious if you think of the generation that, because these guys didn't play against Jordan, do you think this is giving them maybe a little bit better insight into why we all talk about him the way that we do?
Well, you know, Dee, it's, you know, as an ex-player and a person, I had the opportunity to work in the front office and now, you know, I can, you know, watch the game from my kids' perspective and become a fan of the game. And really, I think it's great when I hear these conversations. I always laugh to myself because it's funny. It's great. People are passionate about, you know, who they think is the greatest, so forth and so on. But the ex-player in me always goes back and I have to watch the game technically and say, you know what, you know, that game right there, you have to respect, you know, you have to respect Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. You have
yes.
to respect Bill Russell and Wilt Chamberlain and Oscar Robertson and all these wonderful players. And then you have to put into the fact that, you know, these generations, right? You're talking, you know, the rules were different then than they are currently are now. The problems that today's athletes, we didn't have those problems, but we didn't have the problems that we saw Bill Russell and those guys have
right.
when they came through the league.
Exactly.
So I'm always so thankful for each generation and being able to have conversations with Bill Russell and Oscar Robertson and Dr. J and you know, and all those people because we all try to leave the game better than what we found it. And the one thing about Michael was, you know, he took stewardship of the game of basketball. And I knew that he had the ultra respect for all of the people before him. And I knew all of us who played in that generation, we wanted to make sure that we left it in a better place for this current generation. So, you know, there's clearly a brotherhood that's here. I think it's great what these players are doing today. It's a different than how they did it back then. Yes, D, because you and I lived it. And, you know, when I watch myself play in those times, I go, how did I survive playing against all of those guys? You know, the way the game was played back then, the physicality of the game alone was just like, I watch those games and I just go, wow, that was just a different time. Yeah, so, you know, that's just what it is.
I was fascinated, you know, when you watch, especially those Pistons series. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, yes. I don't even know. Like, I wasn't the biggest guy, so I have no idea. But the crazy thing is, I think about it now, in my 50s, I go, I didn't know any better. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that, right? That's just how you play. I expected to get hit. When I went to the basket, I expected, you know, Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn, and I expected to get hit. I was going to pick myself up and go to the next play. So that's just what it is. And but I think it makes for great debate. But someday, D, you and I will come and we'll have time. We'll dedicate a show to talk to him, who we think is the best player ever of all time.
I'm going to hold you to that. I'm always curious, BJ, because, and you can see it with Jordan, like competitiveness. Now when you no longer play basketball, where do you get that competitive juice? For instance, I'm not very good, but I love to get out there and go to the golf course, right? So what do you do, or how do you channel what once was your career? Like you said, you knew you were going to get hit. You're going to get yourself back up. You knew these were great moments. This is my livelihood. What do you do now to channel that, like, competitive?
Well, now I have three kids of my own. So my competitive spirit is having the discipline to, you know, just say, hey, it's okay to lose, because everyone loves to win, you know?
Yes.
But once you have kids, you see things in a different perspective. You know, winning was, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, you love to get out there and you love to do it. But truly now, you know, that was then, you know, that young kid who was willing to go to those extremes and play you know, I've been on both sides. You know, it's always great to acknowledge when you win the game, but I've also, you know, lost some games.
Yep.
And when you dedicate your life to that purpose and you're trying to achieve something at that level, you know, it takes a commitment. And you never know if you can win, you can lose. I've lost more games. I've missed more shots than I made. But the only way you ever will lose, D, truly, is if you ever show up and try. So that's what I learned from all of that is you played hard. You had some great friends you made along the way. And truly, you know, I was just a kid from Detroit who had an opportunity to live out my dream. And I just tried to do it as best I could. And having the opportunity to play in the Philadelphia Spectrum, that was a joy for me. And playing in Madison Square Garden and the old Boston Garden, the old Chicago Stadium, the Fabulous Forum, that was my dream. So everything else was just icing for me. And for me to be sitting here talking about something that I did 25 years ago or 30 years ago, I never imagined that then. And certainly it's so funny to be talking about it now, because, you know, everyone else's life, or at least from my perspective, seems way more exciting than my own. So for me to be watching myself every week,
it's
like,
great.
What is going on? My kids are looking at me like, what are you doing, Dad? Like, did you really do that? You know what I mean? And so it's kind of hilarious. It's kind of funny. But I'm glad that the people at least get an opportunity to see this figure of Jordan and let him, you know, tell his story in his own words.
Absolutely. BJ, I so appreciate your time. I hope you enjoyed those last two episodes. And I hope you enjoyed me sending you the picture that you hang on in my office of my you and my dad. It's like, what are the chances?
I know.
It's so funny.
That looked like that was in the Spectrum.
It was. It absolutely was. Yes. So.
I know.
It's good times.
Back, and sometimes we'll tell the story back then. We'll tell those stories at another time.
We will. BJ, stay safe. My best to your family. And again, I really do appreciate your time.
All right. You too. Be well. Thank you.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.